from. The night sky will be crawling with satellites by the end of the decade, blocking out stars and leaving astronomers unable to make observations or detect alien life. That's according to experts. More than 8,000 satellites are orbiting Earth, a fourfold increase since 2019, with numbers increasing dramatically. I'm joined on the line now by one of our resident contributors, David Moore of Astronomy Ireland. David, good afternoon. Good evening to you at this stage and welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
How serious is this, David? Because the idea that people like yourself would not be able to engage in what you absolutely love and are so, you know, so enthusiastic about, just how serious is the situation?
It's very serious. To us, this is like plastics in the ocean. We are polluting the beautiful night sky that's inspired so many people over the centuries and millennia, and even today, inspires young kids to take up an interest in space and science and what's out there, which can lead them on to a fantastic career. Very important for Ireland in particular, where 60% of our economy, that's three times more than the construction industry at the peak of the boom during the Celtic Tiger, is based on science. The big multinational foreign direct investment companies, all the tech companies, are screaming for science graduates, and here we are polluting the night sky. People are going to be watching vermin crossing the skies instead of real things like the rare green comet we have over the next few nights, and lots of other things to see as well. So we are personally very upset about it, wondering what's going to happen. But the professional research astronomers are equally as upset, and they've got billions of euros in the game as well. It's a terrible indictment of our society going forward.
And David, I was reading earlier that around 400,000 satellites have been approved globally for orbit, with SpaceX alone set to launch another 44,000. Who grants these licenses? Who gives this approval?
You know, that is the big problem. I mean, space is almost like the Wild West, the final frontier. There's not a great deal of regulation. There are UN initiatives and things like that, but implementing space law, it's early days yet. And the group that authorizes, for instance, SpaceX to launch the satellites, because they've got the most up at the moment, is the Federal Aviation Authority. And they're more interested in, you know, if your rocket gets launched, are the bits going to fall back on American territory? I don't think they realize are going to ruin young kids' interest in astronomy, who could become the future scientists, maybe even rocket scientists for NASA, over in Ireland. And to be fair, that's not their brief anyway. They don't have to care about that, but we do. And you know, Ireland's a member of the European Southern Observatory. We pay our annual contribution of millions going into the project, which is building a giant telescope down in the Southern Hemisphere. And it's reckoned that something like 30% of all the images of space that these telescopes take will be ruined by these satellites flying over. A lot of them will be compromised, and 30% will be ruined. Now, they're spending over €1 billion of all the countries that are contributing this as taxpayers' money. So we're looking at, you know, hundreds of millions of euros. I know Elon Musk is chasing $40 billion a year in revenue from his Starlink satellites. It's very difficult to stop a businessman on, you know, a gravy train like that, chasing after that kind of money. But we have to think about what the global impact of this is, and we're watching the situation very carefully, and we'll support our research colleagues if they want to do something about it.
Talking about research, Tony Tyson, who's Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of California, he's quoted as saying, in light of these developments, if you just went out in a dark place somewhere and looked at the sky in 2030, it would be a very macabre scene. The sky will be crawling with moving satellites, and the number of stars that you would see are minimum, even in a very dark sky. It's a major issue.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. Right now, I can't remember the number because it changes. They reduced the launch for more than today, but it's several thousand SpaceX satellites have been launched, and other companies as well. Jeff Bezos, he's planning to do the same. Some of the big aerospace corporations, they're planning to do likewise. So there was one of the groups that was going to launch these kind of constellations of satellites. It actually went bust when the lockdowns began, and we were all delighted to hear that. unfortunately, new investors have come in and revamped that particular project. And I remember when I was a kid, being inspired by the night sky, that you went out and you'd occasionally see a satellite, and ooh, it was quite fun to see a man-made object in space, as well as all the natural objects. Now, if you're out in the early evening, you'll see more satellites than you will shooting stars. You know, so it is getting a bit... I take pictures of the night sky. I've had a few of them ruined by these Starlink satellites whizzing across and leaving loads of streaks on just one photo. And a lot of photos you take, you'll have a few streaks on them. And even if people watch online pictures taken of the comet and the like, especially any of these videos, you'll see a little, several satellites streaking across. And it's getting to be a serious problem. We've only got a few thousand of the things up now. What's it going to be like when we have 400,000 of them? I think at some stage we're going to have to put a stop to this. It isn't worth it just to make some very rich people even richer. Do we really need this much internet connectivity in space? I don't think we do.
You said earlier, David, that space is like the Wild West, but it clearly is therefore unregulated. But who would be charged with actually regulating space? You know, would there be kind of a United Nations for space, as it were?
Well, I'm not a space law expert, but there are actually now space lawyers. It is a profession you can pursue. One of our members actually did study space law. Unfortunately, he's emigrated, so I can't get advice from him too easily. But the UN have regulations on various things. For instance, there are treaties on the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons in space. Everyone's abiding by that. We have a bit of a test case in the Antarctic, all the countries that wanted to keep as a pristine territory. And there are regulations about who can and cannot go on the Antarctic and what to do with it. So, for instance, if there's oil under the Antarctic, nobody is going to dig it up without a major international incident. And space is sort of treated the same. And the problem with space is that, you know, it is a new frontier. And the other problem with it is that there are a lot of commercial activity in space now. We know that our modern civilization, with all these supply chains, we have of rushing food around the planet, checking on crops from space, forecasting the weather, etc. If all the satellites were shut down tomorrow, it's reckoned the world would fall into chaos within a few days. So space actually become very important. Some of the governments of the world do know this and are looking at it in the future and saying, well, you know, if so many of these satellites up there and they start bumping into each other, all kinds of things can go wrong. Not just the satellites that get hit, but when they hit each other, all the shards fly out into space and you could get a cascade effect, especially when you've got 400,000 of the things up there, hitting off each other and bringing down everything that's in low Earth orbit. There's actually a name for that. I think it's Kessler effect or something like that. But the idea is that we will reach that point where one satellite hitting another could cause all satellites to be knocked out and the world goes into chaos. So it's bad for astronomers looking up, but it could be bad for the average man or woman in the street as well.
And internet satellites, can they interfere with sensitive radio telescopes?
Yes, they can, and they do, and they will. And this is another one of the problems. A lot of telescopes just look at light that our eyes look at, but there are, like you say, radio telescopes that are peering out for different kinds of phenomena in the universe that emit radio waves more than light. It's a great way of studying black holes, for instance. And radio astronomers are going to have a problem with this also. And their equipment is very expensive. In fact, the biggest arrays of radio telescopes are too big for any one country to be able to afford. And multiple countries have to get together to be able to afford these installations. And then you've got all these beep-beep satellites going over, interfering with your studies. And so on the one hand, we're trying to find out more about the universe and inspire the future generations. On the other hand, we're ruining it for ourselves as well. So it is a hot topic within the area. It's something we're all hoping that the powers that be will do something about it. If certainly astronomy on will lend its name to the whole idea. And you know, I just can't see how we can sustain 400,000 satellites unless we give up on space as a natural resource to inspire people. You would have to accept it would be like pumping more and more plastics into the oceans. I'm hoping the general public will have an outcry about it when it becomes a bigger problem than it already is.
Towards the end of last year, David, we spoke to you about the Hubble, and is it likely that because of this proliferation of satellites in space that images from the Hubble could be destroyed because of the oversaturation of satellites in space?
Yeah, well, most of these satellites are about the order of 500 kilometers above the ground. Fortunately, the Hubble Space Telescope is at that height or higher, so they'll be below it, and it's going to be looking out into deep space, so it's very unlikely it will see satellites crossing its field of view. Of course, Hubble is going to be wound down. It's not going to last forever, and we've got the Webb Space Telescope, and the Webb Telescope is 3,000 times further away from Earth than Hubble is. So it's not going to be affected by any of these satellites, fortunately. And that is the most expensive telescope ever built, about 10 billion euros worth, with part Irish involvement, I'm glad to say. So Webb is safe, but there are just two telescopes. The vast majority are on the ground looking up and will be affected by these satellites.
And just one final point. There was a conference, if I can call it that, last week involving, in the UK this took place, the Royal Astronomical Society over there and the UK Space Agency and indeed the Department for Business in Whitehall. They're now so concerned that they convened a dark and quiet skies conference last week to call for regulation. But as I was asking you earlier in the discussion, like, who do they call in order to implement regulation?
Well, it'll have to be something done on an intergovernmental basis. The obvious answer is the UN. It's already got various space treaties, as I said, about nuclear weapons and the like. And it's the obvious forum for the world to discuss it so that business people in one country can't ruin it for everybody else, because these satellites are going to cross every single country on the planet. And so the Royal Astronomical Society is great work. There's an even bigger group called the International Astronomical Union, the sort of union of all astronomers worldwide, and they've been looking into this, and they have actually made some statements on things, and because everyone's watching it very carefully, because to be fair to people like SpaceX, they have done things to try and mitigate the effects by painting the satellite a darker color, tilting them in a particular way, or having a shield that will reduce the amount of light that they reflect. They also point out, of course, you see most of the satellites in the early evening or early morning, just when the sun is below the horizon, the sky is still dark, but satellites are so high up, they're catching the sunlight. In the dead of night, you don't actually see any of these satellites. But, you know, are we all to be relegated to watching the night sky at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and we can't enjoy it in the evenings? So the powers that, the bodies who have real skin in the game, as in money, millions, billions even, are looking into this, and we're following the story very closely. We often have reports in Astronomy Ireland magazine about what's being done. And right now, you know, if you go out, you don't see that many Starlink satellites. We actually do predict them on our social media. They're only really very bright soon after they've been launched, because they're a bit lower when they haven't achieved their full orbit. And to be fair, they do actually look very spectacular when they fly over a few days after they've been launched, because you see 50 satellites all playing follow my leader across the sky. I've seen it a few times when we've predicted it. And it is quite spectacular. And then you realize, oh no, what's that going to do in the future? Another 50 of the environment.
And just before we finish, any events coming up for Astronomy Ireland?
Yeah, the big thing is that the new rare green comet, as people are calling it, comet ZTF. It's just faintly visible to naked eye from the countryside. I've seen it with the naked eye myself. Better in binoculars. It's just to the right of the North Star. About two binocular fields of view to the North Star tonight and tomorrow. It's closest over the next 24 hours. Closest in astronomy means 42 million kilometers. There's a full guide in Astronomy Ireland magazine. You get details of getting that on astronomy.ie. As soon as you join, it'll be emailed to you instantly, so you won't miss anything. And of course, the big thing that's happening for us this week, coincidentally, our evening classes are starting to the hour when this comet is closest to us, and that's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So anybody in the country can sign up for those and enroll now, watch them at home online via Zoom. Just go to astronomy.ie, get on our free social media. If you can afford €1 a week, join Astronomy Ireland to get the magazine and the weekly members email. And if you want to do the evening classes to learn more about this over 8 weeks, 8 Wednesdays, sign up for the evening classes now.
Very good. We must leave it there. David Moore, as enthusiastic as ever, many thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this evening. That brings the time now to 5:15.